Welcome to Kol Jeshurun, a podcast from Temple B'nai Jeshurun, a vibrant and flourishing Reformed Jewish community in Short Hills, New Jersey. Welcome, I am Rabbi Matthew Gewirtz. Kol Jeshurun is where you can come to engage with teachings of relevant wisdom in music. You will hear from our clergy, staff, and guest speakers who will help bring meaning into a world that so badly needs it. If you would like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at tbj.org.
Shabbat Shalom. As we approach Hanukkah, which starts on Sunday night, I've been thinking about what this holiday really means. I think it's pretty easy to go with the whole, the miracle of oil lasted 8 days, and Judah Maccabee's a hero. That's what my children love to tell me. And while these tales are pretty easy to understand and digest, I myself have been wanting a little bit more. Maybe it's my own need for a bit of warmth or light, a little more depth and connection. This year, I've been thinking about what that actual word, Hanukkah, means. Hanukkah means dedication. And so every year, I think this holiday invites us to ask, what does it mean to dedicate ourselves today to the values that we care most about? How can we create moments and spaces that encourage us to rededicate ourselves? The period of Hanukkah, those 8 days, marks the rededication of the temple after a time of profound disruption. After a period of time when the Greeks came in and attempted to destroy a building that didn't just mean a lot to us, but was considered the place where God dwelled on earth. Now, I want to acknowledge that I don't think about the ancient temple very often, if ever, and it's possible that that might be the same for many of you. But the temple holds a central place in our liturgy and in our history. It's all over the place. It was the beating heart of ancient Judaism, where sacrifices were offered, pilgrimages took place, and the people of Israel gathered for holidays and in moments of personal and communal grief and joy. So though Hanukkah is not about the actual destruction of the temple, that happens about 100 years later, I've found myself thinking about that moment after the temple no longer existed, when our ancestors had to find their own ways to rededicate themselves. Because after the temple's destruction, Judaism faced an existential, shattering disruption. Without an altar, without sacrifices, how would our people continue to serve God? And not to oversimplify it, but I think that we're in a moment now that sometimes also feels like a moment of intense destruction. The rabbis of the Talmud met that moment, one of intense anxiety with creativity and transformation. They shifted the center of gravity from sacrifices to what we would now recognize as traditional Jewish practice. They taught that God's presence can dwell wherever we invite it, with our words, Torah, our deeds, avodah, and our care for one another, gemilut chasadim. That last one, gemilut chasadim, acts of loving kindness, became a core form of sacred service. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Reish Lakish were two of the most well-known leaders during this time. I've seen it written that both that they were enemies and that there was a little bit of a bromance. So you can imagine what their relationship might have been, frenemies. And they proposed something radical. In the days of the temple, they wrote, the altar served to atone for us. Now it is our table that atones for us. What did that mean? Every single table, every meal provides a place and an opportunity for atonement, for tshuva, for reconnection or rededication. The commentator Rashi, who came many, many years later, takes it even further by suggesting that the act of atonement happens by inviting guests to our table, that is in relationship. This is a profound reframing. The ancient temple hasn't vanished. It's just been reimagined, maybe as your dining room table, or the picnic table at the park, or maybe even the shared table at a cafe. Places where we gather to eat and talk, to welcome guests, to care for each other, each of these becomes a mikdash ma'at, a small temple. Each meal, then, becomes an opportunity to perform sacred service. This idea of the table as a sacred space, as a temple, brought me to something I hadn't noticed before while reading this week's Torah portion, Vayeshev, which begins the story of Joseph. I imagine that many of us know the broad strokes of Joseph's story, probably because of the infamous musical, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, highly recommend. But just in case, Joseph is Jacob's most beloved son because he was born to Rachel. And he hasn't exactly endeared himself to his brothers. He shares his dreams in a way that's not especially gracious, and Jacob clearly favors him. Jacob gives Joseph that amazing technicolor garment. The brothers' jealousy and hurt build up so much that they finally reach a pivotal moment. They cast Joseph into a pit. And what happens next? The text just says this simply. They sat down to eat. Think about it. A picnic beside a pit in the ground. A pit that we're told is so empty that it did not even have a drop of water. The rabbis noticed this too and explained that perhaps the brothers believed they were acting righteously, that they weren't bad people, that they wanted to eat, that maybe the brothers were acting out of self-preservation, that they feared Joseph was going to harm them. In their narrative, they were protecting themselves, acting justly, doing what seemed necessary. I guess they just didn't know. I'll admit I struggle with this interpretation and their actions, especially because there's a verse later in Genesis, which we'll read next week, that seems to look back at this moment with deeply painful clarity. When the brothers stand before Joseph years later in Egypt, before they know who he is, they say this to each other: "We are guilty. We saw his distress when he pleaded with us from the pit, but we did not pay attention." What pain. I guess a meal is rarely neutral. The same table can be a place of cruelty or a place of kindness. It can be a site of avoidance or a site of atonement. So I'd like to invite us to ask, what happens at our tables? Do we turn away from the suffering in the pit? Or do we turn our meal into a mikdash ma'at, a sanctuary where conscience awakens, where care is practiced? The brothers' later remorse tells us it's never too late to face our choices. Even when we maybe didn't see or didn't know, or perhaps found it challenging to admit the harm, there is room for acknowledging that there is a different way. And Hanukkah's theme of rededication reminds us to explore new ways of doing things, not to be paralyzed by the past, but to act differently now, to take on that mantle of creativity and transformation after a moment of destruction, just as the rabbis did. Hanukkah's call to rededication invites us to write a different story. Perhaps we can see the person in the pit, to hear their cries and to respond, to turn our tables into a mikdash ma'at, a small sanctuary where we practice kindness, repentance, and welcome. As we light the Hanukkah candles this year, may we rededicate ourselves to open the gates of holiness, the gates of justice, the gates of kindness, and to open them wide for all who want to enter. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Kol Jeshurun. If you would like to learn more, visit our website at tbj.org. and follow us on social media for updates on all our upcoming opportunities for engagement. We hope to see you soon.